First Chronicles chapter 20, we're going to begin at verse 4. Let's read together. Now it came about after this that war broke out at Gezer with the Philistines. Then Sibekai the Hushathite killed Sipai, one of the descendants of the giants, and they were subdued. And there was war with the Philistines again, and Elhanan, the son of Jair, killed Lami, the brother of Goliath the Hittite, the shaft of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. Again, there was war at Gath, where there was a man of great stature who had 24 fingers and toes, 6 fingers on each hand and 6 toes on each foot. And he also was descended from the giants. When he taunted Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimei, David's brother, killed him. These were descended from the giants in Gath, and they fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. And Lord, as I was thinking earlier, the reality is people who have gathered for this service deserve way more than I'm capable of giving them. So I'm asking that you will make up for all of my inadequacies and that the Holy Spirit will get in the mix of what happens now in the next few minutes so that people will not remember so much what I have to say, but that the Holy Spirit will speak in the midst of this time and we will remember what you have to say. And you will speak to us and touch us, inspire us, motivate us, challenge us, most importantly, transform us. I lift up other life-giving churches and I pray your blessing upon them. I pray for our loved ones not yet walking in right relationship with you. And I pray especially for sons and daughters who have wandered from the faith. Draw our loved ones, draw our wandering sons and daughters back to you. Don't let one of them be lost. Pray these things in the only name that matters, the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. One of the things that fairly leaps out at me every time I study the Bible is just how relevant it is to the contemporary condition. In the pages of this book, you find men and women just like you and me, facing struggles just like we face. In the narratives, the poetry, the wisdom writings, and the letters of instruction, we are given a path to follow that leads to an overcoming life filled with the blessings of God. In studying the Bible, you soon discover some of the people, places, and things are not only real people, places, and things, but they also become symbols or representatives of spiritual realities that are even greater than themselves. For example, Egypt, as you know, is a very real country. But in the Bible, Egypt also comes to represent the captivity and slavery of sin. Returning to the land of Egypt becomes a metaphor for turning away from God and going back into the bondage of sin. As such, Egypt becomes much more than an historical place in antiquity, but when the Bible speaks about Egypt, it takes on a message as current as the morning news. The warnings about Egypt remind us there is a spiritual reality of sin we must guard against lest we give in to its allure and be taken captive again. Now, I tell you that as a kind of backdrop for the message today, because when you look at the words of our text, you find it describes very real people engaged in battle. And on the surface, it seems rather matter of fact. It seems like so much dusty history, just rehearsing events in the lives of a people with difficult to pronounce names in an ancient nation. What I want to suggest to you in this message is that behind the events described in the few verses we read just a few moments ago, there is a very real spiritual reality that speaks to the struggle some of you may be facing today. In these verses, we have a picture illustration of a spiritual battle common to each of us. And there is a revelation of how to clear the territory of some of the giants that may be standing in the way of you living the overcoming life. In order to better understand what's happening in the verses of our text, we need to back up just a little bit to a story very familiar to most of us. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, we are told of the events that occurred in the slaying of a mighty giant who rose up against the people of God, the giant named Goliath. Anybody remember something about that story? Okay. Goliath, you remember, was the champion of the Philistines, and David became the unexpected champion of the Israelites. When David went out against Goliath, you remember he picked up 5 smooth stones from the brook, and those stones had both a spiritual and a practical significance. In the Bible, 5 is the number of grace. David recognized the only way he was going to prevail in this battle was by the grace of God. His size, his strength, his experience were no match for that of Goliath. But he proclaimed to that giant, "You come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts." As skillful as he was, David's confidence was not in his ability with the sling. His confidence was in the Lord. His confidence was in the grace of God. And when that stone was hurled toward the giant, it was the Lord who guided the stone to his forehead with such force that the giant was knocked to the ground. David cut off the giant's head with Goliath's own sword, and a great victory was won for the people of God. What I want you to see from this story is there was more going on in that valley than just a confrontation between a teenage boy and a mighty giant. This conflict had tremendous spiritual implications as well. The name Goliath means exile. Even though Israel had a king, even though Israel had settled in the land, even though the land of Canaan had been promised to them by God, they were constantly having to fight just to stay on the land. It kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it? Now, here comes a spiritual enemy named Goliath, whose sworn purpose is to put them back in bondage. His sworn purpose is to remove them from the land and place them in exile. This isn't just a physical altercation. It's a spiritual fight. It's a battle for the very soul of the nation. This isn't just a man standing against them. It's a giant. It's a giant empowered by a spirit that is determined to place the people of God in exile. Then I want you to see that coming against this giant of exile is a shepherd lad named David. David means well-beloved. The champion and defender of the people of God is the well-beloved who is trusting in the grace of God. He doesn't cower in a foxhole. He doesn't run away in fear, but he boldly confronts the giant of exile and declares, "This day the Lord is going to give you into our hands. We are not going into exile. We're going to possess the promises of God. We are not going into bondage. We're going to live the overcoming life. I have God's hand on my life. I have God's touch, God's anointing on my life. By his grace, I'm going to win." Giant of exile, you've shouted your blasphemies for the last time. You've intimidated the people of God for the last time. The victory is ours in the name of the Lord. I don't know about you, but that battle sounds to me something like another battle that was waged against a spirit who tried to keep the called out saints in exile. It sounds to me a lot like a battle that was fought on a lonely hill called Golgotha, when sin tried to raise up against us and tried to take us back in the prison house. The Lord Jesus, the well-beloved, the one of whom the Father testified, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," rose up against him. And it initially looked like Jesus had been defeated because he was the one who died on the cross. And yet Colossians 2:15 tells us what really happened that day when it says, when he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. David's offspring, the well-beloved of the Lord, once and for all time defeated the giant of exile. And because of that, we are no longer bound, we are free. We are no longer dead, we are alive. We are no longer lost, we are found. We are no longer exiled, we are fellow citizens of the household of faith. Victory is ours. Thanks be to God. Now, I told you those five stones had both a spiritual and a practical significance. The spiritual significance has to do with grace and our deliverance from the giant of exile. The practical significance is that Goliath wasn't an only child. He had some brothers. He had some offspring, and he had some other relatives. And in our text, we are told there were other battles to be fought and other giants to be faced. By the time of the writing of our text, a number of years have passed since the coronation of David to the throne as king over Israel. The threat of being exiled is over. The kingdom has been established. The kingdom has enlarged its borders and is prospering. This is the period of conquest and expansion. So when chapter 20 opens, we're told it is the spring, the time when kings go out to battle. However, David remained in Jerusalem while General Joab led his army out to war. Now, just parenthetically, I would tell you, here we see the servants of David, who is the well-beloved, going out in his name with his authority, even as we go out in the name of the Lord against our spiritual enemy. I don't have time to preach that. I just thought I'd throw that in so you can look it up and spend time with it on your own. All right, battles are fought and won, bringing glory to the kingdom and to David. But then the army comes to another battle, and there they face another giant. Now, you would have thought once Goliath was defeated, all the other giants would have decided not to try this again. But there is a spiritual truth here you need to understand. The truth is this: every level has a different devil. Can I get a witness from anybody here? Every level has a different devil. No sooner do you destroy one giant and move to a different spiritual level than you will be faced with yet another devil that will try to hinder your continual advancement. All right, here in verse 4, the Bible says they encountered a giant named Sipai. In some other places, he is called Saph, S-A-P-H. Once again, we are made to understand this is no mere physical battle, but it has spiritual implications. One meaning of the name Sipai or Saph means threshold. Another meaning is of a bowl for blood or wine. Now, keep those two ideas in mind, threshold and a bowl for blood or wine. You put those two meanings together, and you have an indication that the nature of this spiritual battle has to do with experiencing the fullness of God's divine presence. No sooner does the child of God determine in his or her heart to move forward and possess the promises of fellowship and communion God has made has made available to them, there then will come a spiritual giant who will rise up to resist that advance. Some of you want a closer walk with the Lord. Is that true about anybody? I've got five people. Okay, good. Well, I'll preach to you five. Oh, there's more. All right. Just making sure. You want to dwell in his presence. You want to sense his peace, his joy, his love, his grace filling your life. You want to live a life of holiness and righteousness. You want to experience more of the power and the anointing and the grace and the blessing of the Lord on your life. But every time you begin to earnestly seek it, there comes a spiritual attack that hinders your progress. Is that true?
Yes.
You know, when you're in worship, just when you're on the threshold of entering into a new dimension of his presence, that's when the giant rises up and brings distraction.
Yes. Yes.
He brings fear and intimidation and ridicule and keeps you from the divine presence. When you begin to press in to the things of God, when your heart yearns and longs for fellowship and communion to which the Lord has invited you, as represented by the blood and the wine of communion, that's when the giant rises up. Some of you are frustrated because your best attempts at knowing the joy of the Lord's presence have been turned aside. Some of you have gotten so discouraged, everybody else seems to be enjoying the abundant life, but you feel dry and defeated. Some of you keep falling into the same old traps, the same old temptations, and you can't seem to break free. Some of you have been beaten up so badly by the enemy of your soul, he's made you believe it's all your fault. You aren't worthy. You aren't good enough. You aren't capable. You'll never be acceptable. Anybody ever had those thoughts? Anybody ever had those feelings? You've been battling a spiritual giant and you didn't even know it. It's the giant Sipai who stands at the threshold of your breakthrough and blocks your entrance into the fellowship of God's presence. But the Bible says a warrior named Sibekai defeated Sipai. The name Sibekai means Jehovah is intervening. When the spiritual giant rises up and tries to prevent you from the divine presence, that's the time to rise up in the warrior anointing of Sibekai. Cry out to Jehovah, and that's when Jehovah begins to intervene on your behalf. See, when God calls for you to come up higher, then he supplies the grace that clears the territory. When Jehovah intervenes, I want to tell you, there is no giant that can resist you. If you've been battling this spiritual giant that's tried to keep you from experiencing the full expression of God's love and mercy and grace for your life, I've come to this pulpit today to proclaim deliverance from the influence of that giant and to clear the territory. Somebody needs to hear what I'm saying, not as a man preaching a sermon, but you need to hear this as an anointed proclamation over your life. So in the name of Jesus Christ, the risen Son of God, I set you free from the lies of the enemy. I loose you from the intimidation. I break the chains of depression and the feelings of unhealthy unworthiness. I destroy this giant from your life with the sword of Romans 8, 35 through 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We are counted to be sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I proclaim a breakthrough over your life. I proclaim a release of the presence of God. Do not be intimidated any longer. Do not be condemned any longer. Enter in. Enter into his presence. Enjoy his fellowship. Praise be to God. So here you are. You're no longer in exile. You've entered into sweet communion and fellowship. But remember, Another level, another devil. Verse 5 tells of another confrontation with yet another giant. This giant's name is Lami. He's a brother of Goliath. The Bible tells us the shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam. Now, the name Lami means provision. And isn't that the way it is? No sooner do you begin to draw close to the Lord and experience sweet communion and fellowship with Him, where everything seems brighter and more hopeful than it ever has, when suddenly a giant rises up to take away your resources. Just when you thought life was going to get a little easier, just when you were enjoying the peace of God and joy in the Holy Spirit, just when your spiritual life was getting in order, just when you began to celebrate the release from bondage and the freedom from your past, that's when you lose your job. Or that's when the house needed major repairs. That's when you were in an accident and not only did you have hospital bills, but the car needed to be replaced. And that's when the economy hit the skids and your investments started losing value. One thing after another has either broken down or gone sour, and you don't know how you're going to keep your head above water. And that kind of thing is demoralizing. That kind of thing saps your energy and crushes your spirit. I feel like I'm talking to some people who are floundering because you've just about been done in by the giant Lami who has come after your provision. However, the Bible says there was a warrior who defeated the giant named Lami. His name was Elhanan. Elhanan means God provides. God has been generous. I don't know who's going to have ears to hear this today. But I came to this pulpit to remove some giants and clear some territory for the people of God to possess your inheritance by the proclamation of the word of the Lord. See, what some of you are experiencing is not just a turn of bad luck. It isn't just a series of accidents. It isn't just inflation and a sluggish economy. But I've come today with a warrior spirit to do battle against the giant who has a stranglehold on your provisions. And I break the hold of this giant off of your life now in the mighty name of Jesus. And I loose you from the spirit of not enough, and I release the grace of more than enough. I command poverty to flee and invoke the generous provision of God over your life. Listen, your help does not come from the north, the south, the east, or the west. Your help comes from Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who is your provider. Your help comes from the God who supplies all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Your help comes from the Lord of the harvest. Your help comes from the Lord who gives seed to the sower and bread to the hungry. Your help comes from the Lord who's making a way for you where there doesn't seem to be any way. Your help comes from the Lord who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you were able to ask or even think. Somebody ought to give Him praise in this house if you receive that right now. Receive, 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 receive in the name of the Lord. Y'all doing okay? So here you are. You're no longer in exile. You're established in His presence. You have provision for every need. But remember, another level, another devil. Verse 6 tells of yet another giant. This was the biggest one of all. In fact, if you notice, The giants get bigger as you move forward. See, Sipai or Saph was called a descendant of the giants. He's a baby-faced youngster. He was big, but he was mostly youthful swagger and bluster, trying to intimidate you and keep you out of the presence of the Lord. Lami was bigger. His spear was like a weaver's beam. The spirit that comes against your provision is indeed a major giant. But now we come to the biggest and baddest of them all. He's called a man of great stature who had six fingers on each hand and six toes on each foot. We aren't even given his name. He is simply called a giant of great stature. With the description of his size and the description of his hands and his feet, remember he's got six fingers on each hand and six toes on each. Six is the number of man. And with that description, this giant stands before us as a spiritual representation of the flesh. Hear me when I tell you today that the biggest giant you will have to remove, the hardest fight you will ever have, is the battle with the flesh. The flesh wars against the spirit. The flesh rises up when you become complacent. The flesh rises up when you let down your guard. The flesh rises up when you least expect it. This giant of great stature seeks to control you with desires and habits not in keeping with your new spiritual nature. He'll take you down a path where you're once more in bondage to negative thought patterns. He'll take you down a path where you're once more in bondage to things that bring temporary satisfaction, but in the end are harmful and detrimental, not only to your physical well-being, but to your immortal soul. He's of such great stature, it seems no matter where you turn, you can't get away from him. And he mocks you. Verse 7 says, he taunted Israel. Am I preaching what anybody's experienced? However, the Bible also says in verse 7 that this giant was defeated. He was defeated by David's nephew, a man named Jonathan. The name Jonathan means Jehovah has given. In this case, Jehovah has given victory. Now, I'm almost finished with this message. I thought I'd get a better reaction than that, but I usually get lots of smiles and hallelujahs. But before I finish, I came to proclaim over your life the deliverance of the Lord from the giant of the flesh. I'm here to proclaim the victory that has come to us through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, because of the cross, sin's power is broken. Because of the cross, you do not have to yield to temptation anymore. Because of the cross, you do not have to keep replaying the same old negative thoughts. Because of the cross, you do not have to keep going to the same old destructive places. Because of the cross, you do not have to be tied to the same old lies. Because of the cross, you do not have to be connected to the same old damaging relationships. I came to proclaim God's divinely given victory over your life. I came to cut you loose from the guilt of the past. I came to cut you loose from the fear of tomorrow. I came to cut you loose from the emotional baggage that keeps dragging you down. I came to cut you loose from condemnation and from worry and from uncontrolled appetites. And I came to release the very life of God to you. I came to release the power of the Holy Spirit. I came to release the completed work of the cross. I came to cast down imagination and every lofty thing that tries to exalt itself itself above the lordship of Jesus Christ. And I say to you today, be free from the bondage. Be free from the addiction. Be free from the torment. Jehovah has given the Son. The Son has given his life. The sin debt is paid. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Victory is yours through the cross of Jesus. Be free, be free, be free. Stand, I'm done. How's that for crash landing the plane? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your witness right now. Thank you for your witness right now. Come on, all over this house, I want you to just lift up holy hands to the Lord, and I want you to thank him for the provision and thank him for the deliverance that he has made possible through Jesus Christ. And thank him for that it comes to your life today. For those whom the Son sets free, you are free indeed. Do not allow the enemy to take you back into captivity. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. If the Spirit of the Lord has spoken to your heart while I've been preaching today, and there's one of these areas where you say, that's what I need to grab hold of, that's what I need manifest in my life, step to the nearest aisle right now. Come down quickly. I want to pray for you. I want to believe that God is going to put his hand on you, and he's going to touch you by the power of his Spirit. I sense his touch. I sense his presence in this house today. Quickly, 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 come. Somebody come and get behind these people and pray with me. Pray over them. Let's believe God together. Let's believe God together. His touch is in this house right now. His presence is here.
I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see